Very glad for all our visitors this morning. Good to see some of our other members back with us, and certainly hope that we continue to grow in our attendance to the glory and the honor of God. You know, in the book of Psalm chapter 33 at verse 19, David said, "Let them not rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies, nor let them wink an eye who hate me without a cause." We read about that this morning in your hearing from John chapter 15, concluding with those words that Jesus gave in the 25th verse. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, "They hated me without a cause." And you know, when you look at this, we have to remember David. David was a type of Christ. We know that. And much of what is written in the Psalms is applicable both to the writer of the psalm, and many of those things are also prophetic. Those are written telling us about the coming Messiah, what kind of life he would live. When it comes to David, we have reason to understand why some people hated him. If you remember 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 8, it was Shimei who stood on that hill up above David as he came by, and he called David. He said that upon you, all the blood of your house, the house of Saul. He called David a bloodthirsty man. So there's reasons why people might hate David. David had it in his heart to build the temple. He wanted to build a place to house the Ark of the Covenant, and he wanted to build what he would call the footstool of God. And yet God came to David and said, "But you won't build this." He said, "You are caught in your own evil. You are a bloodthirsty man." He tells David that he was a man of war, God said. And so he was not able to build that temple. He was a man of war. And so with David and other kings like him, and even worse kings, they could have many reasons why people would hate them. And so, you know, my wife Sharon went to the dentist. Terrible problem with her tooth, and the dentist had to pull one of her teeth, and when she came out, she looked at me, and I could tell it was not a good experience. And she just, you know, she can handle a lot, but she shook her head and she says, "That was not fun." And she said that dentist twice pulled her right up out of that chair. That tooth would not come out. And she said that it felt like he was ripping the jaw right out of her mouth. And you think that. Think about that for a second. And realize, and to the point of our lesson today, men don't need a reason to hate. Men don't need a reason to hate. They don't need facts to hate. They don't need anything except the seed of hate. And once that seed of hate enters into your heart, it's like pulling teeth to get it out. It's not an easy thing. But of course, we know all things can be done through Christ who gives us strength. And Christ gives us good reason to understand this idea of hate. In fact, let's talk about Jesus. There was never a being more lovely than Jesus. There was never one more compassionate than Jesus. Never one more giving than Jesus. And it would seem almost impossible through just a rudimentary study of Jesus to hate him. It would seem impossible not to love him. And I want you, we ask the question today in two manners. The question, why do people hate Jesus without a cause? And then later on in our lesson, why do people hate us without a cause? And when we consider Jesus, a man of history that was ever worthy of our admiration, That's who Jesus was. We've studied Jesus pretty much since the beginning of this year in the book of John. We've gone through chapter after chapter learning about Jesus. And no other from the foundation of the world till Jesus was hated as much as Jesus was. No one has ever met such intense hatred. And when we think about Jesus and what he's done throughout our time, his time on the earth, of all those who hated him, there were people in this world like David and others in our times who were hated not because of their compassion, not because of their the admiration that was due them. They were hated because their own choices of life. Arrogance, high-minded, know-it-alls, you know, those kind of people that are easy to be hated. Some men are just ruthless and combative and they complainers all the time, and there's reasons why people might want to try to hate them. Some people are just lazy. And you know, when you think about lazy, you know what's terrible is the person that will fight and fight and fight and fight and tell you, I don't believe the Bible, and they've never read it. Too lazy to look at the book. And that's kind of an easy route for hatred. Some people are just hypocrites. And it's easy to hate. So there's many character traits in man that could be reasons why they might not be liked and even hated. Why hatred would be showered down upon us. And we think of some of the bad leaders of our time that killed millions without a cause. There's reason to hate. But the continual hatred that Jesus endured, the progressive hatred, the persecutions that he had to suffer, they got more and more intensive all the way from his birth right up to the cross without a cause. Look at me with me here in Matthew chapter 2 for a moment. Matthew chapter 2, and we know this to be an account of the things that happened to Jesus after his birth. Look at Matthew chapter 2. We'll go through here. It talks about now in verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And they came saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Now we don't have to read all of this, but we realize that Herod heard about this, and Herod, he wants to find out about this. A man of prophecy. He wants to find out where he is, and he gives a phony excuse that he wants to worship him. And so he calls these wise men and together, and he asks them to go out and find this Jesus and come back and give me news of them. And in verse 7, Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, you see, secretly, he had an ulterior motive to determine from them what time the star appeared. And so he sends these wise men out. And the wise men in verse 10, they saw this star. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshiped him. Verse 11. But then in verse 12, they were divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. So they didn't. They went away to their country in another way. And they departed. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, in verse 13, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt. And Joseph did that. And then we look down as we see this. And it says in verse 15, and there was until the death which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, out of Egypt I called my son. So all these things happen as was prophesied. Verse 16, Herod, when he saw he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly, exceedingly angry. And I want to just think about this term for a minute, exceedingly angry because he set forth to put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the law. Exceedingly angry. You know, this is an interesting thing. It's the one word that's used by the Holy Spirit in this text only. Ethumothei. Now think about this. We've all heard the word thumos, which means the anger, to boil over. This is not the word thumos. It's ethumothei. And it means to be filled with anger of passion, Thayer says. And as you look at this, and there's a verb that goes along with it that modifies this, and the verb is lian, which means exceedingly beyond measure. And I'm trying to build this up to understand how much Herod hated the idea of Jesus. It's used here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, of the two demon-possessed men that came out of that cave as Jesus came up. And out of that tomb, they were exceedingly and fierce, violent. And that when we think of that modifier and the Greek terms together, you know, the word helps tells us that it states that Lian is intensifies. It raises up a thought taken from a high extent to a very much, quote, a great extent, utterly, strongly, to the maximum. In other words, Herod hated Jesus. It was just beyond the norm. He hated Jesus with every fiber, every cell in his body. He hated Jesus so much he was willing to kill every male child in Bethlehem and the surrounding areas who was 2 years old and younger. How much hate is that? Hate is a powerful thing. He killed the innocents, just like Jesus, by hate, would die innocent. Exceedingly angry. This extreme hatred by men should be, it would soon be poured out upon Jesus Christ himself. Because without a cause, Jesus was not only loving and caring and compassionate, he was the only one who lived upon the earth, tempted, yet without sin. So this is Jesus. Think about this man, tempted without sin, and yet he was hated. From his birth, he was hated. And all the way through his life's travels, right up into the cross, Jesus was hated by men. And it appeared as the whole world was in league together against the Lord. And every man, apart from a few, sought to destroy him. You remember what happened the day of the crucifixion when the chief priests came and got the people and they all shouted out constantly, "Crucify him, crucify him." You remember what happened? "You take him," Pilate said. "You crucify him, for I find no fault in him." There was no reason to hate Jesus. There was no reason to crucify Jesus, and yet they do. You know, in Jeremiah's account, 1:15, we read those words, the voice was heard in Ramah, and mention of Rachel weeping, and we realize that that was based, it was a poetic statement based there in Jeremiah about the people that were led away in captivity, and Rachel would cry for them knowing that some and many actually would die in captivity, describing the miserable condition and that is brought over by prophecy into the Matthew's account when Matthew uses that as an antitypical image, if you will, of what happened there in Bethlehem. Just 5 minutes away, Ramah, 5 minutes from Bethlehem, and those people were all murdered senselessly and ruthlessly. And there's many examples that we can think of why Jesus was hated without a cause. But you know, you look at this, Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And they took up stones to try to kill him. Think of that. He was called a glutton and a wine bibber and a friend of tax collectors and sinners in such a negative way, and yet all he was doing is preaching the good news to these poor people, and they hated him. We think of the son, be of good cheer, those words of Matthew, your sins are forgiven you, when he had just healed that paralytic, about to heal the paralytic. Your sons are forgiving you. He's telling him something really wonderful and good, and the scribe says within themselves, this man blasphemes. They hated him without a cause. You know, truly, he is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Think of those things. And many people wanted to take him and make him king. They wanted to put him on an earthly throne. And yet the hatred of that event, when the loaves that were given to them by the fish and the loaves and all those people ate, and what that did is it developed into a cry, crucify him. Crucify him. Those same people had no reason whatsoever to say that. And yet, you know what happened? Instead of saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, King of Israel, Hosanna, the people said, crucify him. And you think of that, born out of the miracle of the loaves and the fish, born out of the walking, born out of raising up the dead, born out of healing the blind and the lame and the sick, are those words, crucify him. Without a cause. This is our Lord and Jesus, our Christ. All the time he walked on the earth, he walked among people. He loved you. He loved them. He spoke to the rich, equal as the poor. He stood in the sight of men with lepers and touched them and healed them. The sick he healed and made well. The weak, out of great compassion, he brought up to strength. And all this without condescension for anyone. Jesus hated no one, and yet he was scorned and slandered. He was rejected. He reformed the drunkard, reclaimed the harlots, gathered the publicans, sinners, bringing the prodigals to their own fathers back again. And how could this entreat such hatred? Jesus came to heal the diseased. Was there a reason to hate him for that? Jesus came to unstop the ears of the deaf, to open the mouths of the mute, and to make the blind see, and to raise the dead. Are those reasons for people to hate Jesus? Jesus came and to prove that he and the Father were one by the works that he did, the many miracles that he did. And for what of those works, he says, do you stone me? They hated him for that? None of these things, nor anything that Jesus ever said or did, could draw such hatred, and yet they hated him without a cause. Was it the signs, the wonders, the miracles that he did in their sight that should have motivated them to love him, to respect him, to adore him, to worship him, and yet they hated him without a cause? Jesus came to the earth to die. The most agonizing death for sinners like me, so that I wouldn't have to die the second death, so you don't have to die the second death. Was that a cause to hate Jesus? Do you hate Jesus, the Savior, because he came to quench the fires of hell for you? Do we despise the Lord who quenched the Father's flaming sword in his own precious blood? There are people, are we people who are looking at the gospel and the Savior with indignation because he chose to be the substitute for us, who took the sin and grief upon himself to the cross. Jesus was willing to visit the grave for our salvation. Why would people not obey him? Why would they change to disobedience, which is hatred of his word, hatred of his purpose? And why not just examine and receive the truth and take his loving invitation? Why would they hate him without a cause? Why not sing his praises forever? Join with the saints and the angels and with their songs, joyful songs, instead of hating without a cause. We think about this. Jesus said, whatever you want men to do all to you, do also to them. That's really great teaching, great doctrine, and yet people hate him because he said that. He says, honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbors yourself. Good teaching, wonderful, wonderful. People hated him for that. My father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He said that, and he's going to come back like he said, and yet people still hate him. Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep, and the people hated him. The scriptures read, for when we were still without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. That God demonstrated his own love toward us, that we're all yet all still sinners, Christ died for us. All these things are true, and why is not his great love for us and his sacrifice for us reciprocated by the majority with love instead of hate? Why not? I tell you, if you're willing to hear, which of these things would cause you to hate Jesus? What's the motive for refusing his invitation? Because when you refuse the invitation of the Lord, it's a form of hatred towards him. When we refuse the truth, it's a form of hatred. When we decide that Jesus just isn't real, or that the things that he did aren't consequential in our lives, it's a form of hatred. Why would we refuse that loving invitation? Which of us, which man in the world could have written so perfect, such lovely, such moral, and such excellent, virtuous doctrine as Jesus did? Think about that. Think the Lord's ethics. People hate him for the ethics. They hate him without a cause, because he taught to do good, to love. What are the reasons? I think most likely it's our own sin and our refusal to admit the sin, our refusal to repent, that would be reasons why people even today hate Jesus. And I would suggest that we take pause, think about our own sin, and no matter how small we feel that sin is, or how grand or large we feel that sin is, you think about this. Every sin points to the person of Jesus Christ on a cross for your sins. Every sin that we will have or have committed weighs heavily on the shoulders of Jesus even this day. And now then, let's turn this thought from Jesus to ourselves. Let's turn this thought from Jesus to his disciples. Turn the thought from Jesus being hated without a cause to what he said in the book here of John. Remember what he said in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Christians will be hated for many reasons. They were hated then, they'll be hated today. And I've got a list here of 25 reasons why the world would hate you. And we're going to go through every single one of the first five. Think of this. We think of these things here. What do we see when we look at ourselves honestly in the mirror? Do we see an adulterer? Do we see a fornicator? Do we see our own cruelty towards others, or our lust, or covetousness? Do we see ourselves in the essence of all sin, the pyramid of mortal guilt? What do we see? What do we see? We see that the world hates us without a cause. Because as Christians, we're not living in adultery. We're not living in fornication. We're not living in the lusts of our own hearts. We're seeking to be holy as He is holy. We're seeking to walk in the light as He is in the light. We're seeking to have fellowship with Christ here, now, spiritually, so that we'll be with Him there in that home in heaven that He's prepared for eternity. But the world hates Christians because we're not a part of the world. Jesus made that very clear in this 20th verse or 19th verse. The world hates you because you're not part of the world. In John chapter 15 and at verse 19, if you were of the world, He said, right? The world loves its own, yet because you're not of the world, guess what? He chose us out of the world, therefore the world hates us. Pretty straightforward. 1 Peter chapter 2 and at verse 9, as you look at this, you know, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a loyal, holy nation, His own special people that proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. And the people will hate that. You know why? Because the people hate the light. The world hates the light. People will hate you as a Christian because you're different from them. But listen, it's okay. It's okay. They'll hate you without a cause, but it is okay. In verse 19, He says that if you were of the world would love its own, and we're not. Because of that, the world hates you, and it's okay. It's okay. Because in verse 18, Jesus says, if the world hates you, know that it hated Me before you. It will be okay if you're hated because you're different, because you're seeking holiness, because you desire to live godly life. It's okay. It's okay. In Matthew 10 and at verse 22, Jesus says you'll be hated by all for My name's sake, but he who endures till the end will be saved. So it's okay. And when you're hated for the world, it would be a good thing if the world hates you because you remind them of the God they hate so much. They'll hate you. All these things they do to you for My name's sake, Jesus said, because they do not know Him who sent Me. People don't know God. They don't understand God's great love. They don't understand His power, His majesty. They don't understand His will that all men come to faith and repentance in Christ. They don't know God. And for that reason, they'll hate you because you do. John chapter 15, verse 21. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. They will deliver you up to tribulation, it says, and will kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for My name's sake. Because you know Him, because you wear His name. And it's okay, because Jesus chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. It's okay, because you're the light of the world, and darkness hates the light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, right? You are the light of the world. You're like a city up on a hilltop that can't be hidden, and no one lights a lamp, puts it under a basket. You're the light of the world. You stand up where people can see you. And so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father, you're the light of the world. And because of that, you represent the light of Christ, and people will hate you just for that. In John chapter 3, and verses 19 through 21. John 3, 19 through 21. Let's read that together. John chapter 3, verse 19. It says, Jesus says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." They're going to hate you. And why? Because their deeds were evil. It's so much easier to live in sin. It's so much easier to turn an eye away from the truth and towards the pleasure. In verse 20, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest the deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." People will hate you because you represent God. You are a light in this world. Such a privilege it is. And listen, we want our light to shine. We don't want people to think of us as hypocrites, and we tell a little nasty joke here and there. We do something wrong over here and think nothing of it. We want people to hate us because we walk in the light. We want to suffer persecution because we do good and uphold Christ. And again, it's okay because Jesus chose you out of the world. People hate the truth, right? "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." God loves the truth, but he hates people who suppress it, and people hate us because we don't suppress the truth. How many congregations in this world hate the churches of Christ because we preach the truth? Book, chapter, verse. "What saith the Lord? Baptism now saves us." That's why you'll be hated. In Amos chapter 5 and at verse 10, "They hate the one who rebukes in the gate." They hate people who stand in the way of righteousness, and as people come, rebuke the sin. "They abhor the one who speaks uprightly." And it's okay. It's okay. And the reason it's okay is because a servant is not above his master. They hated Jesus. They're going to hate you. They hated Jesus, and they will hate you. And I'm, you know, we're using the word hate here hundreds of times. And yet, you should be glad and rejoice. "For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you." Listen, the world will hate you, but it's okay. They hated Jesus first. Finally, the world thinks Christians are stupid. We know that's true. I've heard it 1,000 times. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and at verse 27, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." It's okay. Because God has said, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Through wisdom, who did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. It's okay because you're saved when you're a light of the world. You're saved and people hate you because they think you're stupid. It's okay because the natural man does not receive the things of God, the scripture says, for they are foolishness to him. But you know what? They're not foolishness to you. They're not foolishness to you. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned and you're not. No one can know God except through the scriptures. And the people will hate you and think you're stupid because you believe the truth of the power of God. And it's okay. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. So it's okay. Listen. Jeremiah 8, 8 and 9. "How can you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, The false pen of the scribes certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed and they are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? What wisdom do they have? How can you claim to have wisdom and reject the God, the creator of the universe? What wisdom do you have? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, God created man from the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils and he became a living soul. God made Eve from the rib of Adam's side. And God was with his people from that day on. Listen. What reason do we have to hate God? What is it that we could ever do? You know, if you're here today, understand that Jesus just simply wants you to come and obey the gospel. He wants you to believe and be baptized, have your sins washed away, be added to the church, his body, so that when he does return, he will be able to take you up with all the saints into heaven, to be in the clouds forevermore with the Lord, to see the face of God. That's what he wants. That's all he loves. He has compassion. He brought the good news into the world, and even though the world hated him, and even though the world might hate you, the truth is still there. You need to repent of your sins to be forgiven of those sins, to have your sins washed away by the blood of Christ, and then to love him until he returns to take you home. And if you are involved in some manner of sin, you can repair that problem right away by repentance. Confess that sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse you of that sin and restore you again with the Father in heaven. Do you have a need this day? And if you do, right now is the time to come forward as we stand and as we sing.